talked about faith being tested. And I believe one of the biggest challenges of faith is when you pour your life out to people and your heart is pure before God. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but when your heart is pure before God, and I can say that God, my motives, my objective for ministry is not selfish. The objective that I've always held on, I've always held, was how can we, not just Cross Culture Church or the local church, but how can we as the body of Christ make an impact upon the culture? You know, our vision statement, our mission statement, and we even said the objective that I've tried to instill within the hearts of any that will follow me is to be sacrificial, not to just look at how you may get your needs met, but how can you be an instrument in God's hands in order to make an impact upon the lives of others. So that's been my endeavor. And God does notice that. Even though many refuse to continue to walk with us, the Lord is still with us. The hand of the Lord is mighty upon us. And I can say that God has not rejected us. The word Ichabod is not written on Cross Culture Church. But if anything, the Lord is saying, your faith is being challenged. Your faith is being tested. And I want you to know that I know who you are and I know where you are. I know your location. So here we talk about influence. I want to, again, appreciate you that do walk with us, because here over these years, what we're doing life together. We're doing life together. My marriage, we have been married now for 39 years. And in that, next week. And over these 39 years, we're doing life together. We've learned to live together. You don't ever, and I say learn to live together, because being individuals, we have our own ideas and our own minds, but we learn to coexist, and not just coexist, but to be merged together so that we become one. Doing life together, the community, within community, doing life together within the church community, doing life together on our occupation, wherever you work, we must learn to do life together. You see, at school or in an educational environment, that's the kind of community that we learn to do life together. But let me tell you something. But in every relationship, regardless of what that relationship is, that relationship will have an influence over you. You see, you're being influenced by others. And that cannot be avoided. And here's another part. And it ought not be avoided. We're not trying to step away from the influences of others. But if anything, we have to understand and realize that when you enter into a relationship, you're entering into a relationship in order to be an influencer, but at the same time, to be influenced. That's sharing life. Sharing life. Our TV media program is called Sharing His Life, but it's really sharing influence. It is sharing, living, and working together. Now, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, this is what Paul says. He says, do not be deceived. It's important that he says that, because there's the possibility of deception that could take place. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. And one translation says evil, bad communication, or evil communication. Because when we talk about in a community, we communicate, we talk. We talk, and you'd be surprised how powerful words really are, because when you're speaking to somebody, you're influencing them through your words. There are things that you're saying. You say, well, I don't want to cause any problems, but however, this is the way I feel about a particular thing. And when you share that, that's influencing that person to at least consider something that they otherwise would be giving consideration to. So evil communications or evil company corrupts good habits. Habits. How we do things, and I would say the course that we take in life and the continuation of those activities, because when you develop a habit, habits are easily what? Formed, but they are hard to break. So we develop habits. Let me tell you something. Let me just show you how easy it is to develop a habit. Don't do this now, but stay out of church 3 weeks and look at how hard it will be to come back the fourth week. See how difficult it will be to come back the fourth week. Why? Because you have, in 3 weeks, you've developed the habit of staying at home. And then eventually you feel, you get to a place where you sense, you don't even sense the need to even come. You say, well, why should I even bother? Because I've stayed away. Why should I even bother? Those are habits. Whatever you do over an extended period of time, you're developing habits. And those habits are hard to break because you get into what's called a routine of doing things a particular way. But let me tell you something. The reason that we need to break those habits is because we can habitually work against God's ordained plan, the thing that God would have done and the way God would have it done. So it says, so evil communication, evil company, who you're hanging with, who you're talking to, or who are the people you're avoiding? Because it's not just who you're talking to, but sometimes it is the avoidance of good company that can also cause you to have wrong habits. But it says, but here's what, it didn't stop there. You say, start with the negative, but then it says, I want you to get rid of that, because this is what I want you to see. You can't see this until you, first of all, deal with that. Until you recognize that evil communications corrupt good habits, then you'll never be awakened to righteousness. Do you see that? The Lord's objective is for you to be awakened to righteousness. But if you are so involved in your habits, you cannot stay awake long enough to realize what righteousness really is. He says, I want you to awake to righteousness, but you got to get rid of your bad habits. And the way to get rid of your bad habits, you got to cut off evil communication, because they're contributing to your bad habits. Am I making any sense here? Are you still tracking with me? You see, you're listening to somebody. It could be a spouse. It could be the person that's closest to you. But understand, you got to be, I'm not saying cut off communication with your spouse, cut off communication with your family, cut off communication with your loved one, but you better filter. You better have a filter so that when things are being said, you need to hear them through your spiritual filter. Because if not, your filter is going to be so polluted that it's going to go through that filter and it will pollute everything that you hear. So he says, so evil communications corrupt good habits, but awake to righteousness. When he says awake to righteousness, be alert when things are being said and done that God is saying and God is doing, you're postured to hear it. Your position here. So then when God is talking, you can pay attention to what God is saying. You see, that attracts your attention. You are at a place where to rest your attention, and it will bring you to a place where all of your energies are being channeled in that direction. You said, I want to see righteousness established. I want to see the Lord glorified. I want the Lord to get the glory out of my life. I want the Lord, I really want, regardless of what people think of church, we talk about how things have degenerated. You see, now I know that if all these things are happening, there has to be some truth somewhere to be found, that I don't just have to become a product of my environment, but there's a place for truth to be found. And I want to be in a position to hear that truth, but let me tell you something, and not always deal with people that agree with me. What do I mean? When I'm in the dumps, I heard you, Brother a while ago, you talked about that particular moment when you were at your lowest, Brother Elijah, at your lowest. All you need is someone to walk alongside of you and begin to tell you, you see, I told you that stuff ain't working. That stuff doesn't work. Why are you still hanging around? Where was Pastor Walker? What about this? What about that? You follow what I'm saying? So you see, can you believe his word? Can you believe that? Can you believe? You see, all you need is someone to whisper alongside, and then what happens? You see how it corrupts good habits, corrupts good behavior, but what happens is working against your embracing the standard of righteousness. But now it says, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Now watch what happens. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. He said, for some do not have the knowledge of God. Some. I'm glad he didn't say all. But he said, some do not have the knowledge of God. Now, are you tracking with me? Because you see, the objective is what? The knowledge of God. Awake to knowledge, awake to righteousness. How can I awake to righteousness? I must receive the knowledge of God. I must receive the pure word, the pure milk of the word of God. I must be washed with the water of the word of God, because you understand, I'm growing as a result of receiving the milk of the word of God, and I'm being cleansed by receiving the water, being washed by the water of the word. So the word of God is more important than people give credit. You see, why do you go to church? Why are you here? The objective must be, where is God talking? And what is God saying? And if God isn't talking and God's not saying anything, you don't have any business being there. You see, I want to be where God is. I want to be where God's saying something. I want to hear what God has to say. I want God's perspective on a particular matter. I don't want your opinion. I want to hear what God has to say about it. So now, are you seeing anything here? So he says, awake to righteousness, not all have the knowledge of God. And then Paul says, I speak this to your shame. I speak this to your shame. Now, Paul, what are you talking about? You speak this to our shame is because he's really saying that some do not even desire the knowledge of God. Some do not place the right value on that knowledge. But I trust that this is really helping you, because I'm really wanting you to see this. I want you to treasure the knowledge of God, because when it's all said and done, the only thing you can rely upon is what God knows, and that which God desired to reveal to you. What God knows, the knowledge of God is what God knows, and then he has revealed it to us, because he gives us a word of knowledge. He gives us a glimpse into what he knows. And then what happens? We get hold of that, but that knowledge, that light leads to light. So we grow in grace, and we grow in what? The knowledge of God. It is progressive. So what you're hearing today isn't enough to carry you for the whole week. That's why you have to come back on Wednesday, y'all. Because God didn't finish. A sentence is what? A sentence is a group. It is a group of words expressing what? A complete thought. The message is incomplete when you just get a little sample. When you're in and out and out and in, and you feel as if your container can only take a little bit, because I got enough to carry me for the rest of my life. You see, many people refuse to walk with us because they didn't get a complete sentence. You see, I have to realize that is the knowledge of God that many have rejected. And understand, God has something to say. God is speaking, and he gives us his word in order for us to grow. Now, let's go on. I speak this to your shame. Now, what do we do then? What do we do then? How do we walk, and who should we walk with? I'm going to tell you who you should be walking with here in Proverbs. The Bible speaks very clearly to us. And I want you to know, now, if this is not the word of God, then There's a room, there's a sign that says exit, and you're supposed to take that. But if God's talking, then take heed. Verily, verily, I say unto you, pay attention to what God is saying. Now, here in Proverbs 13:20, look what it says here. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Are you seeing something? Influence now. Influence. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Why? Because the wisdom of those that you walk with will produce wisdom within you. You see, so you're getting wiser just by hanging around with folk that's wise. Did you know that? You take in whatever they are releasing just by being around them enough. So in other words, hang around with folk that desire righteousness. Do you find, you see, I think some people talk about, I love God, but I just don't like his children. Have you heard that? I love God, but I just like his children. Because God's good all the time. All the time, God is good, but his children are terrible. Now, you see what is it saying here? Now, if you love God and hate his children, what do you think God thinks about that? What do you think about that? I love Pastor Walker, but I can't stand Francine, and I can't stand Krista, I can't stand Karis, I can't stand Woody and Maurice. I just can't stand those little folk that he gave birth to, and that he's connected with. And you know what happened? I'll take offense to that because they are from me, they are part of me, and you follow that? That's the way this thing works. Because now I'm trusting that my influence is strong enough to help to arrest whatever may be in them that would be, let's say, working against the standard of righteousness, because I want to influence them to embrace righteousness. But let me tell you something, but I do not take lightly when people despise the ones that I love. Are you hearing this now? It's not a good situation when you despise that which is love. So now, when it comes to God's children, the same thing, God feels the same way. God says, I want you to, how can you love me and hate your neighbor? How can you love me and you hate the people of God? So if I love the people of God, I want to be around the people of God. You see, even the ones that are hard to love, even the ones that's difficult, because God loves them, I can love them too. Are you hearing this? You see, I don't always agree. I don't always, you see, but because of the love of God that's released towards the people of God, I can't help but love it. Because I see them as a work in progress. I see you as a work in progress. You see, I'm not here to divorce myself from you. I'm not here to walk away from you. I'm here to do whatever I can to help you to come to the place of righteousness. But walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. Walk with those that are seeing something that you probably at this juncture in your life are not seeing. Walk with them. And as you walk with them, knowledge is being exchanged. You're learning some things. Jesus invites us to come to him. And he says, and learn from him. And then you will find that I'm meek and lowly of heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burdens are light. He says, but how do you do it? He said, walk with me. Hang around with me. Spend some time with me. Spend some time with me. If you spend time, you'll realize I'm not the way, I do not measure up to your perceptions. I'm not the way you perceive me to be. But I'm much different than you thought I was. You see, brother told me the other day, he said that he ran one race. He said he was speaking to some people that despise black folks, couldn't stand black people, and they would not sponsor or support him in what he was doing. He said, will you call them? Because I want to have a meeting with them. I would love to meet with them. So he had a meeting with the people that hated him. They were working against him. They were some whites in the 80s, you know, old school. He said, let's sit down. I just want to talk with you. So when he started talking with them, what happened, they began to see him in a different light. And when they saw him in a different light, the ones that were working against him became his greatest supporters. Are you seeing something here? They became his greatest supporters. Why? Because what happens, they were educated to understand some things about black people and to see people not just as a group and stereotypically looking at African Americans or black people, but they begin to see the humanity of a people that they had rejected as a whole. Do you see that? So what happens sometimes, that wisdom, the way that wisdom can take place is through exchange. When we start engaging people in conversations, we will come to the place of learning some stuff that we otherwise would not know. We understand some things that we otherwise would not understand, but we cannot get there without dialogue. So the point I'm making here, even this morning, is that we need to talk to some folk and stop just judging based upon what it looks like, or hearing one word and running slipshod with just a little information. Because there's a whole lot, let me tell you something, there's a whole lot that God is desiring to do in this ministry, but there are people that just get a few words and not a complete sentence. And they judge. That's why many refuse to walk together. They make a judgment. And they say, well, this doesn't pertain to me. I'm not hearing what I need to hear. You stick around long enough, and God will help you to hear some. You will hear something that you weren't in position to hear before. Why? Because you awake unto righteousness. You awaken to a different standard. And he frees you from selfishness and selfish ambition. Let me just go on, because there's some things I want to cover before we finish our time together here. So now, wise men, you walk with the wise, you'll be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He talks about the judgment that takes place among those who refuse to walk with wise men. Did you hear something? You see, he says that if you reject wisdom, God rejects you. You reject knowledge, God rejects you. When you turn your back upon that which God is saying. And we got to be very careful, because we don't know, that thing that you're rejecting just might be God. You see, the information, the thing that offended you, it just might be God. And your offense is not against the individual, but it's against the God who brought about the offense. Because he's trying to correct you. He's trying to bring you to another level of righteousness. He's trying to lift your sights to a higher level of righteousness. Are you hearing something here? Are you hearing something? Now, let's go on and let's look at what he is saying here. We talk about company. Elton Trueblood wrote a book called The Company of the Committed. And what we're talking about is this commitment. Committed people pave the road for others to model their commitment. And those are my words, but I begin to look at the company of the commitment. Good company, bad company corrupts good morals, but we see the other side. Good company, walking with the wise, you become wise. So the company of the committed. So now, I want this to be an environment so that people that come to this ministry are committed. We're not just about trying to get folks to John Cross Culture Church. We want people to become, I know what I'm saying, John, join, you know what I mean, but John the church, you know, like, but we want people to come in because of the fact that they're coming into an environment where people are, in fact, committed. Now, what are we talking about here? So, in other words, we want to attract people that's ready to commit their lives to something. Are you hearing anything here? We want to attract people that are willing and ready to commit their lives. Now, you talk about millennials now. You know, millennials don't want to be a part of something that's just routine or redundant or what happens. You're just doing it because this is the right thing to do. They want to be a part of something that's real. So now what happens, we talk about the company of the committed. When we are committed and our commitment becomes very obvious, very prevalent, that this is who we are, this is what we stand for, and understand this is what we stand against, and we've taken our stand and we've given our whole lives to a particular cause, guess what? You're going to attract people that's looking for something that's real so that they could commit their lives to it. Are you still with me now? We want to be a part of something that's real. We want to be, we don't want to be a people that just go to church. We don't want to be a people that just give a little time and attention to God and then live our lives any old way. We want to see something that's real. But let me tell you something. If you're not committed, your influence is keeping people away. It's driving people away from God. Are you hearing something here? You're keeping people out of the kingdom rather than attracting them to the kingdom of God. It is the lack of, you see, because you influence it. What happens? You didn't have to say a whole lot. But just by the way you live, by your action, by your behavior, you're standing in the way of sinners. There's a whole lot of people that would otherwise come into the kingdom of God if they saw something that's real. A people that have embraced the truth, the standard of righteousness, and they see it as being real. They say, this thing is real. These people are willing not only to give their resources, but they're willing to give their lives for what they say they believe. Now, if you're not willing to give your time to it, if you're not willing to make it a priority in your life, you best believe you're not positioned to give your life. You're not going to, the ultimate sacrifice, I'll die for you, Lord. You know, somebody else said that, didn't he? Didn't Peter get to that point? You know, Lord, not only, well, I'll die for you. Wait a minute, Peter. Wait, Peter, you're jumping ahead of yourself. There are some steps leading to that that you've not taken as of yet. So don't jump ahead and think that you're ready to go to the cross. I'll die. You know, you're not ready for that yet. He said, because let me show you how strong your commitment is. Let me show you how strong your commitment is. He said, what's going to happen when I get ready to die? You're going to defect. When I get ready, what you're saying you're willing to do, when I do it, when I submit to it, you're going to be a defector. He said, watch this. He said, before the rooster crowed three times, you not only would have denied me, but you're going to deny me as many times as the rooster crowed. He said, you would have denied me three times. He said, you're going to have three opportunities to deny me, and you're going to cash in on all three. So now, look at the commitment. So it is really saying, church, that we can say a whole lot of stuff with our mouths, but where is our heart really? Where are the priorities? What are the things that really matter to us? So now, you understand this. What our objective is what? It is not just about ourselves. You're not in church merely to get your needs met. See, you're in the wrong church now. I came to get my needs met. Wrong church. You see, wrong church. I want to make a difference. I want to live my life so that a difference is being made in this generation. Do you follow that? Let's look at it now. I want a difference made in this generation. I want, and I believe that if I take care of God's business, God will take care of my business. I believe that seeking first the kingdom of God and his standard of righteousness must be first and foremost. And if I do that, God will take care of the us. All these other things shall be added. I don't have to seek them. I can just be so busy and actively engaged in seeking the kingdom that I can rest in God because he says my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So now that's the church you're a part of. That's why many refuse to walk with us, because we refuse to compromise the standard. Are you hearing this? We refuse to compromise. I don't care how, I do care how many people come and go, but not to the degree that I would compromise the standard. Because I believe that ultimately I must answer before the one. And when he says, I've done a good job, that's really what matters. So the company of the committed, being an environment of committed people, what I want you to do as a church, we talk about action, find someone that demonstrates the character you desire to possess. Find somebody that possesses the character that you desire to possess and open lines of communication with them, allowing them to speak into your life. Who do you know that possess the character that you desire to possess? Do you know anybody? That you see? I'm not saying that's perfect now, but you see them as a model of the character that you desire to possess. And you say, look, if you say, well, I'm not saying that they become God to you. I'll talk about that later on. But they have the character that I desire to possess. And what I want now, if I walk with them, I will allow them to speak into my life. I'll allow them to bring correction. If they see me stepping out of line, I'll listen to them. And what happens, I'm not just listening to listen. I'm listening in such a way that I'm being corrected by the people that, because how did they get there? They didn't just get there just by chance. They got there as a result of living a disciplined life and a dedicated, devoted life, committed life to the Lord. Are you seeing that? So when I see committed people, I want to hang around with committed people. I want to hang around with committed people. I can learn some things from people that are committed. And you know what? I love that. I love to be around pastors that love the Lord and love their wives, love their family, love the people of God. I love to hang around them because I learn from them. You see, they challenge me. Because I said, if God, not just orators, they speak well. I want people that live well. I want to be around people that live well. Because what happens, you could have a good speech, and that's what impressed a lot of people with oratory. They speak well. That's not enough for me. How you living? What's backing up the message that you're speaking? Because after it's all said and done, there's no power in that. The power is in the life that you live, the life that you're demonstrating. So now, but people that are about surface individuals are about impressions. People that are just surface Christians, they're more about the impression. It looked good, so therefore that's enough. You know, Lot and Abraham. You know, Abraham and Lot. See, Lot chose the best. He looked at the greener pastures. He went in that particular direction, but he got himself in trouble. And it took Abraham to rescue him from the decision that he made. You see that? Because what happens, people that are impressed with appearances will make the wrong decisions. So in our generation, that's where a lot of decisions are in fact being made. So now, as we begin to look at, get with people that can help you in that. Let them speak into your lives, but do not set them above God. Don't set those people above God, because just in case they disappoint you, they will. They may disappoint you in time, but here's what I want you to know. God will never disappoint you or let you down. Learn from the ones you can learn from, but always keep your eyes set upon the one that they got the information from. That's God himself. Even me. You see, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, but keep your eyes on the Lord as you follow me. And if you see that I'm following Christ, then by all means, don't you veer to the left or the right. Keep following. Am I following Christ? Am I committed to the cause? Am I serious about the Lord? Not perfect, but my standard must be perfect. You see, now I want to help you to understand something. This is where we are as a people. And that point was really driven home these last few days with me, is that we have a whole generation that we have to reach. The youth, young adults, adolescent years are the years when character is being forged. People are being made daily. These are the young people, the youth, young adults. Their character is being forged. Now, I would say this to young people that's here, but also say it to all that will hear this message. Have someone that is more advanced before you. Have someone that's more advanced before you, someone that's walking ahead of you that's more advanced that you're willing to follow. But then here's the other thing, and I would say that to all, but I'm especially saying it to the youth and young adults. But then also have someone that's less advanced behind you. Because here's how you're going to be sandwiched in. I want you to be helped by someone that can give, that can actually go before you and actually have a mentor or be a disciple to someone that is going before you. Be a disciple. No, the new word is mentorship, but the real truth of the matter is discipleship. So I would say to every young people, you need to become a disciple. You need to become a disciple. Somebody that you're walking with, that's walking before you, and you're walking with. You're saying, look, I'm accountable to you. I'm accountable. I understand the whole thing of peer accountability, but then you need to be accountable to someone that can be more of a father figure to you as well. You see, that can tell you, say, look, son, you need to tighten up. How's your wife? How's your children? How's your relationship? You follow that? You need that. You need that in your life. But then you need to also have someone that you have a mentee or a disciple that you're discipling. Someone that you're taking alongside. You see, someone you're taking under your wings. While you're being mentored, give what you're receiving to somebody else. Because if you're just a receiver, you're going to miss it. I'm just getting all this for myself. No, who am I going to help? There's somebody. Your position right now can be helpful to somebody else. I don't care if you're 12 years old. There's somebody that's 6 or 7 years old that you can help. Are you hearing me now? You can begin to take these little ones under your wings and begin to say, look, little sister, little brother, let me just walk with you. So now, this is what we're recommending. So now, as you walk with others, hold them accountable. That's what I'm saying, accountability. You know, what is the problem? What is standing in the way of your devotion to God? What is hindering you from moving forward? You see, ask the hard questions, because they hear it from me all the time. You come to church, and it could very well be driving some people away because you're hearing it over and over again from me. I'm doing this because I'm a father or an overseer as being a pastor. But now when you start getting peer pressure, because we mentioned what? The company of the committed. The company of the committed. You need to self-correct as a congregation so that you're talking. It shouldn't always just come from me, but it should come from you as well. So that you're saying, look, little brother, look, little sister, let's get our acts together. I'll walk with you. I'll pick you up. I know that temptation at your age is very strong, but if you start feeling a particular way, call me. Because I walk through that same path that you're going through right now. And my testimony is that this is what God has done in my life. And then you say, well, I'm still having some challenges, but I'm talking to somebody that's helping me through the challenges of my life. Someone is helping me along the way. Do you follow this? So now I have an impasse because you need help and I need help. So I'm going to talk to someone that can help us. So now my discipler is helping all of us. Do you follow that? So I can take the information, pass it down. Now we're at a place where now I got to talk to the pastor. It shouldn't just start there, you see, because now we have level. Now let's talk to the pastor, because both of us are in trouble. I'm trying to help you, but I can't even help myself. Let's talk to one of the elders. Let's talk to a pastor. Let's talk to somebody that could help us. But we continue to speak. You're talking. Why? Because wisdom. And here's the other part that I didn't mention, is that when you run into that, your commitment is to righteousness. You know what God's going to do when we come together as a congregation? He's going to address your issues, and it's going to appear as if somebody told him, told me, or told whoever's speaking. You said, who's been telling my business? Because the very thing that we're challenged with was being addressed. God, because you know what? Because the greatest, the master himself knows about every challenge we face in life. And he knew exactly how to address it. He knew exactly what to do with it. All of that, you see. Now, this is what we're talking about. So now we begin to see even how this is to take place. So walk behind someone, but also walk before someone. Now, what I wanted to talk about, because this is Black History Month, the beginning, and I'm going to close now. This is influence. We're influenced by the environment in which we were raised. Now, this is a message in itself. In fact, this was going to be the message, but I'll cover some of this later on. We're influenced by the environment in which we were raised. The question that I ask is, who is influencing you? Who is influencing you? Now, this all began, I don't know how I can handle this in 5-10 minutes, but I began to look at Adam in the Garden of Eden, and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And after Eve ate of the fruit and gave it to her husband, he ate, you know, the whole thing. And then the scripture says here in Genesis 3 and verse 11, and he said, God began to talk now after they ate of the forbidden. And she said, we're naked, so therefore we had to put some clothes on. So then God said, who told you you're naked? Who told you that you're naked? He said, who told you you're naked? Who's influencing you? Who's influencing you? You're under the influence of another. Somebody had to tell you that you were naked. I didn't tell you you're naked, because you weren't naked until they told you you were naked. You became, oh, that's a whole message. You became what they told you you were. Oh, we can go there, can't we? You became what people told you that you were. You became the words were prophetic to you. And your life was fashioned by the words spoken over you. Who told you you were naked? Who told you that you weren't, that you didn't measure up? Who told you? Who told you those kinds of things? Who told you? Who told you that you were ugly? Who told you that you were dumb? Who told you that you were ignorant? Who told you? Who told you that? Who told you you can't be faithful to God? Who told you that you had to give in to your flesh? Who told you that? Who told you that God required more than you can bear? Who told you that you couldn't resist the temptations of the enemy? Who told you those things? He said, first of all, have you been talking to the devil? Have you engaged in discussion with the enemy? And here's what he was trying to do. He was trying to feed you. The enemy doesn't just communicate with you. He wants to prepare your meals. He said, I want to be your cook. I want to be your dietitian. So that when you eat, you won't just eat what you used to eat. You're going to eat what I feed you. So what happens? He told you. He said, That which you were feasting upon that God provided is insufficient. Let me tell you what's healthier. You have to eat of the forbidden. There's a fruit that I want to feed you with. And when you eat it, you're going to see that it's health. You're health conscious, aren't you? It's going to make you healthier than you've ever been before. In fact, you're going to be wiser. In fact, it feeds your brain and make you wiser than you've ever been before. He said, and your problem is God keep trying to keep you from this because he doesn't understand, or not just he doesn't understand, he's trying to hold back certain things from you because you're God's. You're God's, and he doesn't want any competition. You're the master of your own fate. You're the captain of your own soul. Why should you be a slave to some religious system so that you're under a pastor? You're under leadership. You're under mentors. You're under disciple. You have to be under discipleship. Why does someone have to tell you what to do? You're your own person. Don't you know you're your own man? And all those folk trying to do is control your life. And then God shows up and says, who you been talking to? He said, and who's your dietitian? I gave you a whole garden full of food. I had a smorgasbord awaiting you. And all he had was one tiny fruit. And you mean to tell me you will give up the smorgasbord for a bite of the forbidden? How much are you giving up for what you're feasting upon? See, you want it because he's been talking to you. He always make it appear to be so glorious and so grand. He said, all you gotta do is eat this. You ain't really tasted anything yet. Man, you ought to try it. You know, this kind of sex act is so off the chain. You ain't never felt like this before. This dope, let me tell you something. You take this stuff, man, it'll take you to a place you've never been before. This person, man, will rock your world. Who are you talking to? Who's feeding you? Have you eaten of the forbidden? And sure enough, it opens your eyes to the things of the devil, but it closes your mind to the things of God. You get to the place you say, now, I don't feel like it. Now, I just don't feel like it. I don't think it doesn't feed me any longer. God, no, because you've eaten something else. That's why you can't eat from the table of God, because you've been feasting from another table. Who told you you're naked? Who's your dietitian? Who's feeding you? The man said, the problem, he didn't talk about the food. He said, have you eaten of the forbidden? He said, No, the problem is not what I ate. The problem is this woman. It's not what I ate. This is woman that you gave me. That's my problem. My problem is that, in other words, Lord, the problem is really you. Because you gave me somebody that messed me up. And if you hadn't, I wouldn't be communicating with her, and she couldn't have communicated with me unless you put her into my life. So what I need to do is get her out of my life, and then life can be a little better. I just got to get rid of her. Lord, you see, my problem is her. But really my problem is you, because you gave her to me. And Lord, you messed up. You gave me the wrong one. What? Who else could I give you? She's the only one out here. Did you want a pig? You want a cow? You want... but Adam, you were asleep, I know, but did you realize she came from out of you? There was something in you already. There was something in you. There was something in you that manifested in her. That's part of the problem, but the woman said, well, wait a minute, since you blamed her. And the Lord said to the woman then, let's talk to the woman then, since she's the problem. Let's talk to your problem. What is this you've done? you've caused a problem for your husband. What have you done? And the woman said, it's that snake that's in the garden. But she was honest. She said, and the snake deceived me. The snake fooled me. And I ate. Now, isn't that a little better than the first one? The snake, I have to acknowledge the fact that I was tricked. That the snake tricked me. See, I thought I knew better. I should have known better. But I was fooled. I was tricked. And that's, we begin to see communication. So they ate. So now, I'm going to have to close. I got a lot of stuff I want to share with y'all. We'll talk about it later on. But you see how communication can affect our lives. Can affect our lives. Now, I'm going to talk about environment next time because I wanted y'all to know a little bit about my background, my history, and the like. I was going to talk about even how I grew up and the place I grew up. All of this historical information that I can share with you concerning where I came from and how God has a way of positioning people for the destiny that lie ahead. I believe that that's what. But then, not only for me, but you're part of that. You're part of that because God sent me to you. Did you see this? God sent me to you. I didn't just show up. I didn't just, poof, I'm here. But he sent you to me. You didn't just show up. You're on assignment. God sent you to this house. He sent you to this place. Those that are a part of the house. God sent you here. So it's not that easy. There's another church across the street from my house, so I might as well just drive and burn all that gas. It ain't worth all of that to get all the way out here in Lithonia. I might as well just, you know, where have you been sent? Are you sent? Have you been, like I said, we're not just trying to get folk to join the church. We're trying to get people that are connected, that they may be committed. That this may be the company of the committed and an attraction to people that's willing and ready to commit their all to Christ. And when they see, it's not just what we say, but what they see that's going to impact the generation. When they see that we're real about Christ, real about God, you're going to start seeing people who would otherwise never darken the door of a church enter in and commit their all to Christ. So now the burden is upon us, not God. Lord, if you had just given me a Cadillac rather than a hoopty, then I wouldn't have to worry about it. Lord, if you just given me so I'd have to make up that much on my face. I could just, you know, I just throw the water on, but I had to work this thing, man, before I get out the house. So therefore, Lord, you knew that before when you made me. You knew it took longer for me to get dressed. So therefore, I might as well not go to church because now it's already 11:30. Took that long to make up my face. You knew that. You see the excuses? The Lord is saying, no. He said, the company of the committed, attraction to this generation. Will you be that magnet? Or will you be the one standing in the way? Father, thank you. As we come to your table of communion, that we will come recognizing you as being Lord over our lives. This isn't the first time many or most have heard this in different ways. But Lord, may they hear it as if they've heard it for the first time, so that a line is drawn in the sand as to who's for you and who's against you. we realize that hearing the word is fundamental. That's the base on which all the other things will grow. But then doing the work, doing the will, is produced out of the commitment that we've made to you. So, Lord, as we are being trained, may we be a going people, a people, Lord, who's on fire for you and moving in the direction you'd have us to go. And we're saying we come to this table that we're one. We're saying we come to this table that we're one accord. We're saying when we come to this table that we have committed our hearts and lives to you and that there's nothing separating us from you. Lord, we don't want to come to this table lying. We don't want to come to this table, Lord, with double-tongued, forked tongues, speaking one thing and then our lives expressing another. We want to come to this table, Lord, speaking the truth about you and about ourselves. So, Lord, search our hearts as we examine ourselves. Before we partake of the elements, the bread and the cup, and then, Lord, those things that you reveal to us that's not the way it's supposed to be, may this be the day where that commitment is made. Because if you committed your all to us, to the extent that you sent your son to down the cross and your son gave his life as a ransom for us, it's a small thing for us to live for you. So bless now as we partake of these elements. We give you the honor and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.